And good morning. It is 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio is Sitka fellow Solomon Endlich. Welcome to Morning Edition, Solomon.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, you're a physicist. Tell us about where you're coming from and what brought you to the Sitka Fellows program.
Well, so I recently received my PhD from Columbia University. Right now I am a postdoctoral researcher in a technical university in Switzerland. And I have I've come here to work on a project which has been sort of near and dear to my heart, but which has been a little bit out of the mainstream of my community. And my community as a physicist is high energy theoretical physics, and so people are concerned about fundamental physics. So things like how do all of the particles in the universe interact, fundamental forces, the nature of quantum gravity, the beginning of the universe, those sorts of big kind of heady questions. And one thing that I've wanted to do is I've wanted to take some of those mathematical breakthroughs and organizational principles that have come out of this difficult search that we've sort of accomplished as a community over the last, depending on where you start counting, let's say 60, 40 years, and which you've been able to really describe most of the universe as we know it in this really beautiful, simple formalism known as the Standard Model of Particle Physics, which actually very recently has just received its kind of capstone in the discovery of the Higgs boson, which was a necessary component of it. And so in order to describe all this physical phenomenon, we've had to build all this large, almost cathedral of mathematical machinery. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring some of that mathematics to other disciplines of physics, and in particular, astrophysical phenomena of relatively compact objects like planets and stars. And some people had been using it for non-traditional subjects, and they started out using it actually for black hole binary in spiral problems, which is a lot of confusing words for people who are non-experts, so I apologize. But essentially what it is in the universe you can have two black holes which are essentially falling into each other, and they do this like two objects sort of circling around a drain. And so they in-spiral on each other, and they get closer, and they circle around faster and faster. And as they do this, they emit gravitational waves. And this is a form of radiation which we want to try and pick up with these amazing new instruments which people are building on Earth right now. And they are these large laser interferometers, and they're trying to basically pick up this gravitational radiation. And so in order to detect it, they needed very accurate numerical calculations. And people started using this particle physics technology, this mathematical technology, to do these calculations. And it seemed extraordinarily successful. And coming from that background, I felt like I could find another outlet for, again, this beautiful cathedral that we had built. And it just was nice to see it in place somewhere else. And so I wanted to use it for planetary dynamics, which is, I think, a beautiful new field of study, which has, well, not necessarily new, but has a very new face, because we've discovered thousands of new planets in the last couple years. And before, we were only looking at our own solar system, which the planets are relatively far apart. There's not too many strong interactions. Sort of Newton's law of gravity does a very good job of describing pretty much everything. And but in these new systems that we're seeing, there's so much, the dynamics are so much richer because you can have much bigger planets much closer to each other. So for instance, people are finding these things called hot Jupiters, which are planets the size of Jupiter, but they're very close to the star. They're maybe within the orbit of Mercury or something like that. So much closer, and so everything's much more packed, and the physics is much richer. And so we need to somehow go beyond thinking of planets as these point-like particles moving around and start to incorporate the effects of tides and finite size effects, and somehow using a sliding scale incorporating some effects and throwing out others. And so it's a very rich, complicated thing, and this mathematical package can really help us get a handle on it. And so I wanted to give it a shot.
So you want to look at planets as sort of more dynamic systems and see how that affects how they relate to each other and how solar systems relate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so most physical problems are very difficult to actually solve, in the sense that when I take a physics class and I learn about Newton's laws, I usually think of these very idealistic particles. So things like, you know, when I solve a physics problem and someone says I shoot a cannonball off the top of a cliff at a particular angle, how far does it go until it hits the ground? That kind of problem, they're always assuming a point-like cannonball, and they're also never assuming any air resistance, all of those kinds of things. And so when you try and solve these ideal problems, they are often very tractable. But as soon as you include air resistance, if you
add all these variables.
Yeah, exactly. If you ask any engineer, you know, that's where it becomes difficult. And so somehow you have to have a very intelligent program of incorporating all these extra bits. And so, for instance, in these hot Jupiters, they're so close to the star that they have enormous tidal interactions. And so it's very important that they have, that you include the fact that these planets themselves have finite extent, because that's where tides come from. And so there's this, the rich dynamics come from all these extra details.
All these little variables in planetary systems.
Exactly. So. There's right. A ton going on. And so keeping what's necessary to really get the dynamics correct is sort of an art, and improving that art is really the purpose here.
So you're here and you're working on this yes. niche you're carving out for yourself,
yeah.
right? How are you doing that while you're here? If I was to come upon you working, what would I see?
I think you'd probably see me staring at a piece of paper with a pen and trying to calculate certain quantities, and maybe getting frustrated because I know that, you know, I missed a factor of two or something like that. So it's really pages and pages of equations. It truly is.
Does your location here, is this helping you or enriching your experience in any way you might not have been able to foresee before coming here?
Yeah, okay. So I think at first pass you'd maybe think that it's irrelevant to be here. I mean, maybe I could just be in a concrete room anywhere, since I'm just working with a legal pad and a pen and maybe access to the internet. But for me, the reason I do physics is because I'm in love with the natural world. I think it's a beautiful and wondrous place, and my, if you want to call it this, almost practice of physics is really an attempt in appreciation. And so being here gets me excited about physics and, you know, looking at the ocean every day and at the weather systems here.
There's exciting physics
everywhere you
look. Inspirational physics.
And I think that's it for me. And so being in a place like this really reminds me of why I do what I do. And so, yeah, it's inspirational. I mean, it doesn't directly help me, but it makes me love what I do. And that was sort of the purpose of coming here.
It seems like this relates back to physics, in that in physics, there are all these subtle forces acting upon each other that you may not realize are influencing something larger, but they are.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I can imagine that being the case here.
Okay. Well, where do you head from here?
So I head back to Switzerland, where I will continue this project along with a host of others. So back to normal work as I know it, but I don't think I'll ever really leave this place, and I hope to maybe try and come back, you know, next summer or hopefully soon.
And just really briefly, because we're actually out of time, you were hosting Space Jam sessions every Thursday here in Sitka. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that went?
Yeah, so the idea was somehow having a chance to really interact with the community more rather than, again, stay in my office and just calculate alone by myself. So it was an attempt to really bring the community, or at least interact with the community and try and share some sort of off-the-cuff spaces cool knowledge. And I thought it went pretty well. I mean, I would have loved to have reached more people, but it's always, you know, difficult to find these things at a great time and get the word out and all that. But I think for some of the people who made it, I hope it was a enriching experience. So we talked about things like the possibility of time travel. We talked about black holes. We talked about neutron stars, which are stars the size of Manhattan but weigh as much as the sun. So a spoonful weighs as much as a mountain, that kind of thing. We talked about early universe cosmology. It was great. It was really great. It was a lot of fun for me. I love it.
Well, maybe next time, if you find your way back to Sitka, you can do it again.
I would love to.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Solomon.
Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Solomon Endlich, physicist and Sitka fellow.